Well, good evening. Welcome to you this evening. It's a little bit difficult, this service, the three songs that were really for my mother, and I appreciate all of you and the thoughts that you have shared about her, and it means a lot. I can't say any more. I'll get a little choked up, but we're going to look at Proverbs here this evening, and Proverbs is a book that I have spent on and off over the past 8 years. I've spent some time throughout the past 8 years just studying the book and really trying to understand it for myself. And I hope that I have two goals for tonight. My first goal is to get you excited about Proverbs. If I can get you to see Proverbs in a way that maybe you haven't seen it before, and you'll get excited about it and be able to go study it for yourselves in a new way, hopefully that'll be wonderful. My second goal for tonight is to get you just excited about studying the Bible in general. If you can see what can be done with a book like Proverbs, you know, we often think the Bible's been here in this form for 2,000 years, and it's sometimes said that every idea that could be learned has already been learned. Anything you could learn in the Bible has already been learned. But I want to tell you, that's not true. This is such a rich book. All the scholars in the world combined have not found everything there is to learn here. And so it's an open field. It's a world to be explored of its own, just the richness of the Word of God. And we have today, I want you to think about this, we have today tools to study the Bible that they didn't have for thousands of years. Even 50 years ago, if you wanted to do a word search, how would you do a word search 50 years ago? You had to open the page, turn to the next page, is the word here in this page? Turn to the next page, is the word on this page? Today, in your pocket, chances are you have a tool that can give you every place where a word shows up in a fraction of a second. And so we have the ability to study the Bible now in ways all of us here can study the Bible with much more powerful tools than people have had for thousands of years. And I want to encourage you in that, because the things that I'm doing, I'm using spreadsheets and just color coding and moving things around just to be able to decipher what's in Proverbs. These are all things that are easily available to all of you, that you could study any book. Is there a book of the Bible that you're really curious about? Is there a period of Bible history that you're curious about? Is there a doctrine that you're curious about? If you just put some time and say, I want to know what the Bible has to say about this. When I started my journey in Proverbs, I asked people. I said, I'm really curious about Proverbs. I'm curious about this. I think I see this in the book, but I can't tell. No one could give me an answer. And so I just kept digging. And that's what we all have to do with the Word of God. We can understand it for ourselves. That's why it's here. It's here for our learning. Okay, so the book of Proverbs is divided into four parts. Different people try to divide it in different ways. Really, there are four parts of the book of Proverbs. There's an introduction. So the first nine chapters are an introduction to the book of Proverbs. And it flows. It teaches what wisdom is, what instruction is, but it does it with narrative and story. And so it's much easier to follow. I don't know how well. You may or may not be able to see everything on the screen very clearly, hopefully. Hopefully you can get some of it. But you do have the handout, which has, I would say, 90% of what I'm going to cover tonight. So you should be able to get it, most of what I'm going to talk tonight out of the handout there. So that introduction, those first nine chapters, is there, much easier to understand. And I don't spend a lot of time on those nine chapters because a lot of other people have taught on them, and they're relatively easy to understand. The next section is the Proverbs of Solomon, chapters 10 to 24, and we'll look at each of these sections here a little bit closer. But chapters 10 to 24, these are the individual Proverbs as Solomon set them in order, which we'll see that. Chapters 25 to 29 is also the Proverbs of Solomon, but Solomon himself did not set them in order. We'll see that in a bit. And then we have the end of the book. The chapters 30 and 31 are the words of Agur, is chapter 30, the words of Lemuel, chapter 31. Okay, let's go through these sections, these parts of Proverbs, one at a time. Oh, before we do that. Let's pause here to talk about this. So in Proverbs, when we get to chapter 10 and verse 1, we really have the beginning of the Proverbs, and it's one concept to the next. Let's turn there. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 1. It says, the Proverbs of Solomon. A wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. Then we come to verse 2. Treasures of wickedness profit nothing, but righteousness delivereth from death. Now, what a lot of people do, they come to this first chapter that contains these Proverbs, and they say, I don't see how verse 1 has anything to do with verse 2. So there's no order to Proverbs. There's no rhyme or reason. If these two verses aren't in order, then the rest of the book isn't in order, right? So you'll often hear people say, well, the Proverbs are just random. They're just put together. Each proverb by itself we can study, but don't look for an order because there isn't one. I would disagree wholeheartedly with that concept. In fact, I go so far as to say that Proverbs is the most misunderstood book of the Bible. Because this is about wisdom. Let's look at this. There are some reasons. This is the Word of God. This is the inspired Word of God. Proverbs is an inspired book in the Bible. It's in the canon. This is a book that God has authored through Solomon. Okay? So this is God's Word. Now, God is a God of order. And we could look and make a case for that. God is a God of order. And he creates all of these things. You look at the creation of God and the detail and how meticulous he is when he designs things. Would he, when he is authoring the book on wisdom, would he just scatter wisdom out here with no order? Or would there be a very deliberate order to the placement of those proverbs? There would be. Second, you have Solomon, who himself was given this wisdom from God. We remember the story. Solomon was given, God said of Solomon, what would you ask of God? And Solomon says, well, I would like to have a wise and understanding heart to know how to rule the people of Israel. And God gives him wisdom. In fact, God says that he would have more of this wisdom to rule than anyone before him and anyone after him. So here is Solomon, who is has the most wise and understanding heart of any person in all of history, other than Jesus himself, if you count him. He was human, but he was also God. So if you don't count him, you have Solomon, right? Would he put these proverbs in a random order? Would he just scatter them? Or would he have put an order to them? Actually, Solomon himself says that he set the Proverbs in order. Go with me to Ecclesiastes and the end of the book there, chapter number 12. In our fundamentalist circles, we don't have any problem with Solomon as the author of Ecclesiastes. There's some that debate that, but we're pretty confident. We don't have any questions there. So Solomon, author of Ecclesiastes, refers to himself as the preacher when we come to Ecclesiastes. So we come to chapter 12, and here we have verse 9. So Ecclesiastes 12:9. And moreover, because the preacher, who is the preacher? Solomon. Because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge. Yea, he gave good heed and sought out and set in order many proverbs. So Solomon says that he put in order many proverbs. Another reason that we find cohesion in Proverbs is that there are duplicate proverbs, and people get confused about that. If there's a proverb, there are several that are actual duplicates. There's one in 14 and one in 16, in chapter 14, one in chapter 16, that are exactly the same. And you say, well, is that a mistake? Here's the thing. If there is an order to the proverbs, then that means there's a context to the proverbs. And one proverb in two different contexts would have different meaning. And so it's actually really important to find the order of the Proverbs. And another reason is that you can find cohesion when you look for it. When you start to look at cohesion, you say, well, you know, chapter 10, arguably chapter 10 is the hardest part of the book to find cohesion. I'll explain why in a minute. But that catches people up right at the beginning of the Proverbs. It's really hard to find that cohesion. But as you look for it, you do find it. You do find that these Proverbs work together. And why is this proverb placed in front of that one? There's always a reason. There's always a reason for that order. And searching for it is part of the point. Go with me to chapter 18 and verse 1. Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 1. Through desire, a man, having separated himself, seeketh and intermeddleth with all wisdom. Now this I think, this is an important verse. I bring this up often when I'm talking about this because this verse kind of hints at the fact that in order to understand wisdom, there's a component of intermeddling. There's this idea that I'm taking it apart and putting it back together. I'm working to find the order in something. How does it work? Well, that's the purpose of the book of Proverbs in the difficulty in finding the order. It's actually for us to search for it. As we search for it, then we find these amazing truths that are just they're waiting for us to discover. So part of the purpose of Proverbs is to intermeddle there with wisdom. Okay, so back to our parts of Proverbs. We have these four parts. Let's go through them. The introduction, the next part, the 10 to 24, which I call the panorama. Then we have 25 to 29, the additional Proverbs of Solomon, and the words of Agur and Lemuel. Okay, the first nine chapters, look, go with me to chapter 1 and verse 1, the very beginning of the book. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive instruction. And so this first seven verses are here as an introduction to the book, stating the purpose of the book. And so we find actually in verse number 6 there, to understand a proverb. And I find that interesting. In fact, the more I study Proverbs, the more I learn about how to understand a proverb. And I think what this is saying, the purpose of the book, to know wisdom, to understand a proverb. One of the ways we start to understand Proverbs is by studying Proverbs. Because it's a matter of comparing Scripture with Scripture. It's a matter of comparing this part of Proverbs with that part of Proverbs. It helps us to understand it. But also it's important to check our evaluation, our interpretation of a passage. If we say, I believe it means this. If we can verify that somewhere else in Scripture, that's a good thing too. That helps us to know that this is a biblical principle that I've learned, not just something I came up with out of the book of Proverbs. I think that's important. But we have this introduction here, and then we have verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Okay, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge here, okay? Now that's chapter 1. Go with me to chapter number 9. We're going to skip all of it. We're going to go to chapter number 9. Verse number 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So what Solomon has done here, I'm going to use the name Solomon, but understand, this is Solomon through the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, okay? So when I say Solomon, it's because so much of his personality comes out in this text, I can't ignore him. This is the Word of God. But here we have Solomon takes nine chapters to go from the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge to the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Because it takes him nine chapters to go from knowledge to wisdom. And so that's really what's happening in these first nine chapters. And as I think about it, as Solomon was there, he understood that he had a wisdom that was from God, and the wise thing to do with that was to preserve it and write it down so that people that would come after him would be able to study it. And so he wrote this book of Proverbs down. And so as he did that, I think what he's trying to do is trying to make it accessible for as many people as possible. So these first nine chapters are really for anybody with any skill level, with any intelligence, with any ability to study, can just jump in and learn about wisdom. But then he comes to chapter 10, and he lays out, now this is it. Now this is high art. Chapters 10 to 24 is going to be so rich and so in-depth. It's Solomon putting wisdom on paper is really what it is. So we have this chapters 10 through 24, and you have that on your handout here. These are some titles that I've identified. It's hard to title a chapter, but what I've tried to do is capture at least a general sense of what's in each chapter. The chapter divisions here are absolutely amazing. So whoever put these chapter divisions in the book of Proverbs knew what they were doing to a T. And there are scholars who debate about, you know, chapter 15 to 16, well, it should have been, but when I look at it, they knew what they were doing. And they drew those lines for very specific reasons. And if you look hard enough, you'll find it. So we have these chapters 10 to 24, 15 chapters here. And this is, I call it the panorama. It's a panorama of life. It begins at the beginning of life when you have a novice. And the novice wants a lot of things. The novice wants wealth. The novice wants fame. The young man. And I'll tell you, the key to unlocking all of this, as I get into this, is to understand the son. Go with me actually back to chapter 1. Because if we're going to get the picture of Proverbs, this is where it all kind of, this is the key to unlock this whole story. Chapter 1. Now, we looked at those first seven verses, but look then in verse number 8 of chapter 1. This is, we've already had the introduction, so now we're going into the content of chapter 1 here. It says, "My son, hear the instruction of my father, of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother." So here we have the son. Look with me, chapter 2, verse 1. "My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee." Chapter 3, verse 1. "My son, forget not my law." Chapter 4, verse 1. "Hear ye children the instruction of a father." Chapter 5, verse 1. "My son, attend unto my wisdom." Chapter 6, verse 1. "My son, if thou wilt be surety for thy friend." Chapter 7, verse 1. "My son, keep my words." Now, chapters 8 and 9 deal a little bit more with wisdom, and so we don't see it directly there. But then we come to chapter 10 and verse 1, the beginning of the panorama, and we have the Proverbs of Solomon. What's this? "A wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother." And so it's a continuation. We have the story of the son. Now, that son does some really good things, and the son does some really bad things along the way. But as we look at it through that lens, we begin to see that there is a life story that's being built out that has a lot of positive things that can happen in life and a lot of negative things that can happen. So chapter 10 deals with that, beginning with this idea that here is this son who hasn't achieved anything yet. It's very simple. It's the simple in the book of Proverbs. Hasn't learned anything, hasn't achieved anything, very young, a lot of potential, but there's a lot of potential also for failure. And so that's what's being laid out in chapter 10. Then that builds. So what we have is chapter 11 is about establishing yourself. And so what we'll see in chapter 11 is this idea that there are some things that you need to do to plant your feet on the ground, to lay a foundation for your life. This is idea of establishing yourself. And then chapter 12 continues that foundation, but what you'll notice is that there's a nuanced difference between 11 and 12. Chapter 11 will deal more inwardly and toward the heart, whereas chapter 12 will deal a little more outwardly. So I've titled that Stepping Out, because it's really this, still this building this foundation, but understanding that you're going to start to interact with other people, and how is that going to look? That leads then to chapter 13, which is the chapter on diligence and wealth. And what it's about is it's about shifting your understanding and perspective and showing you that diligence is really important and that there is an effect that comes from diligence and having a diligent attitude, a diligent heart. But it also begins to shift your understanding of what wealth is. It doesn't do it in big, glorious fashion like we have later in the book, but it begins to shift your perspective of what wealth is. Then we have chapter 14, which is matters of the heart. This is by far as I can tell, the strongest place in the Bible to find the mechanics of the heart, chapter 14. How does the heart work? We want to know, like, where do these, we're supposed to guard our heart because out of the heart, Jesus says, out of the heart are all the issues of life. But we want to understand the heart. Chapter 14 really deals with that. It mentions the word heart, I think, four times. So it's not like it's an obvious thing there. But as you look at it, each time it mentions the word heart, it's a very substantive point about the heart and about how the heart works. And so all of these other proverbs are connected to those ideas about the heart. Chapter 15 is about correction and reproof. And what we have here is interesting because we get to the end of chapter 15 and we go into chapter 16, which is about righteousness, and we have a change in pattern of Proverbs. Now, scholars debate this. They don't know why this is. I think it's obvious when we look at context why this is. But what it is, most Proverbs are built up of two versets, usually labeled verset A and verset B. So you'll have a positive half of the proverb and a negative half of the proverb, or a negative half of the proverb and then a positive half of the proverb. So, you know, for example, chapter 14, verse 1, since we're here, every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish plucketh it down with her hands. Okay, every wise woman buildeth her house is the first verset of the proverb, and it is positive. Then we have, but the foolish plucketh it down with her hands. That's the second verset, verset B, and it's negative. Now what we have is actually, it's not 100%, but the majority of the Proverbs from chapters 10 through chapter 15, through the end of chapter 15, are either positive-negative or negative-positive. But then chapter 15 conceptually is dealing with this concept of reproof and correction. Chapter 16 deals with righteousness. And what we have is a shift from chapter 16 on. The majority of the Proverbs are either positive-positive or negative-negative. Positive paired with a positive or negative paired with a negative. What is it doing? There is a linguistic cue. It's paint on a canvas, so to speak, poetically speaking. It's this idea that when there's reproof and there's correction, there's a change in behavior and there's righteousness. And that inconsistency is corrected and then you have consistency. It's actually using the language and the style of the Proverbs to paint a picture of what's happening in life. It's a really important pivotal moment in the book of Proverbs here. Then we come to chapter 17, and that is about excellence, generally speaking, building on that righteousness and living that out in the world. But then we have chapter 18, the heart of the learner. We then go to this place where we realize that there is a need to be a learner. There's a need to learn and to have a proper attitude about all of that and to be humble about your response to knowledge and so forth. Then we have chapter 19, which deals with self-worth, how much value you place on your own life and your own soul and so forth. Chapter 20 deals with perceiving deception. So if we're going to interact in a world, in a fallen world, we're going to have to be able to determine what we're seeing in the world and be able to perceive that deception when it happens. Chapter 21 is fascinating because it's really about the path of life. The main lesson of the chapter is that as you observe things happening in your life, those are cues that this has happened in your life, and you're on a path in your life. And so if you see this happen once in your life, there's a good chance it'll happen again in your life. It's a path that you're on. And the idea is that it helps you to see how to make the right observations about events that happen in your life, so that you can then recognize a pattern and make changes as needed, so that you can improve things. Chapter 22 deals with riches versus the value of the soul, showing you really, again, this shifts your understanding of what wealth is about, and Solomon does it here in pretty pretty powerful way. Then we have chapter 23, and that's about temptation, dealing with temptation and recognizing it. And then chapter 24 is really about understanding what wisdom is. So again, kind of like he does in the beginning of chapters 1 through 9, he starts with knowledge, he ends with wisdom. He's doing the same thing here in the panorama. This last chapter is about wisdom, but it takes us all of these chapters to get to this place where we understand what wisdom really is. So it's a fascinating point. Then we come to chapter 25. Look at with me in verse 1, chapter 25, verse 1. These are also proverbs of Solomon, which the men of Hezekiah, king of Judah, copied out. So what happened here? Solomon collected the proverbs and wrote down and put in a scroll chapters 1 through chapter 24. The scribes of Hezekiah, when tasked with preserving the work of Solomon and the book of Proverbs, realized that he had written many other proverbs. And under the direction of God, they copied out some of the best of Solomon's other proverbs that he wrote. He wrote over 3,000 proverbs, the Bible says, at some place. And so he had all of these other proverbs, and they collected these. And I think this really serves as almost a commentary on how the scribes of Hezekiah understood Solomon's work. It's a beautiful thing. These are some of the best of Solomon's proverbs. Many of the ones that are memorized or referred to are in this section, 25 to 29. And we'll go through this actually in some detail in just a minute. I do want to point out the chapters 30 and 31, so let's go there. I have also not spent as much time here because these chapters are in narrative form and there have been a lot of people that have taught on them. So chapters 30 and 31, chapter 30, verse 1 says, "The words of Agur, the son of Jakeh." And this really, I was fascinated by this as more a the wisdom that's revealed to people who just believe. The simpler minded people who just, God just reveals, and there's places in the Bible that talk about, you know, the wisdom of God is revealed to those who just trust in childlike faith, and God will reveal things. And this is, I think, what that is talking about. And then chapter 31 is the virtuous woman, very familiar passage to most people. Okay, that is a summary overview of the book. What I'd like to do now is go to chapter 25. Let's narrow in on these particular chapters. And if you flip over your handout, you'll see I have some graphics here that connect to each of these chapters. So what we have is 25, 26, 27, 28, and 29. And each chapter, the last chapter doesn't count because the last chapter is about perspective, which I'll talk about in just a minute. But these four, 25, 26, 27, and 28, each chapter has a persona that is seen throughout the chapter. That persona represents an idea or a concept that relates to maturity. And so what we have is the king in chapter 25, the fool in chapter 26, the friend in chapter 27, and the wicked in chapter 28. And you'll notice there's actually Hebrew poetry going on here because the king is a positive idea, the fool is a negative one, the friend is positive, and the wicked is negative. And so even in these personas, there's some Hebrew poetry going on there. So 25 is the king. That relates to authority. And you'll see on your handout there, the idea here is that authority is not about control, but it's about the connections we make with those we oversee and those that we serve. If you think about authority, we often think of it as that. We think of it as the influence that I have. I have control of this. And if I have a good man, we think, a manager is somebody who is in control of everything that's under them. That's not a biblical idea. A biblical idea is that we're all in an authority context. There is an authority context for every station of life. There are almost always people above us. There are almost always people below us in our authority context. Therefore, there are usually children are pretty low in that authority context, and as they grow up, they begin to get more responsibility and more things that they're responsible for. So there are people that we have to respect, and there are people who are under our direction. And so this concept of authority is the connections that we're making with those people. How are we treating those people? And that's really what I see anyway in chapter 25. Now you'll notice that in the handout here and on the screen I have this graphic. What this is each verse is a block, and I have kind of just the largest sections that I can identify. Understand that there's a lot of layers here. There is complexity to this. These proverbs are laid out in such a way that while you might be talking about interactions in these first 10 verses, there can be other things that are going on, and sometimes there are different ways to group it. And so there's a lot of complexity there. You could break this up in a bunch of different ways and be right, which is fascinating to me. But it helps you, I think, to see a larger context of what each chapter is, what each chapter contains. Sometimes it helps you to understand the thread that goes through that chapter if you see a bigger context. So then we have chapter 26, and that is the fool. Now, this chapter is actually here to teach us about wisdom. Of all the places in the Proverbs, this is really the chapter that teaches the most about what wisdom is. And it does it by teaching the opposite. Because you'll notice, many Proverbs have the opposite meaning. So it can even say something completely negative, but imply something of the opposite to be true as well. So we have this chapter on wisdom. And what I find in chapter 26 is that it's teaching that wisdom is not about your intelligence. It's not about some people use this definition, knowledge applied as wisdom. I think that definition is lacking a little bit, because that means that wisdom is just knowledge. Well, I think wisdom is deeper than just knowledge. So what is wisdom? What I see in chapter 26 is a matter of setting expectations, managing expectations. Wisdom is all about expectations. If I can set an expectations well, then other people will know what I'm thinking. If I can understand what someone else expects, then I'll have the ability to meet that expectation. If in a case of war, maybe I don't want my enemies to know what to expect. And so there are times when we want to set expectations really well. There are times when we want to conceal things. That's what wisdom is. That's what I see in chapter 26 anyways. Maybe you'll disagree and you'll go study it for yourselves. That would be great. So that's 26. Then you have 27 is the friend. And the idea here is about relationships. And it's about building relationships and what a relationship is. So that's chapter 27. And what I see here is that relationships are not actually about the connections that we make with people. That should sound familiar, because that's really what I think authority is being taught about. Authority is about the connections we make with people. We think, I know so-and-so, you know, these relationships and, oh, I spend time with this person. Great, that's not a relationship. A relationship is what I do for somebody and with what attitude I do it. And what I see in chapter 27 is this idea that if you're going to build a relationship, it's going to be a matter of your investment in somebody, the way that you handle yourself, your attitude, with your heart attitude, and the things that you're doing for somebody. That's what will build a relationship. Then we have chapter 28. Now, chapter 28 is the wicked. Now, this is the wicked as in the idea of ill-gotten gains. Those people who are just striving to get whatever they can get out of life. And really, the concept here is it's talking about wealth. And wealth is not really about money or possessions from a biblical perspective. And what I see in this chapter is it's saying, look, wisdom is not about what you have. Wisdom is about contentment. Wealth is about contentment. Think about it. Why do people want to have that fancy car? Why do they want to have all this money? Because they think when they have it, they'll be content. But when they're trying to get it through the flesh and through wickedness and doing whatever, they get it and they're not satisfied. And they wonder why they're not satisfied. So they want more. Then they'll be satisfied. But what they're really striving to have is contentment. If they could just be content. Well, this is just laid out how to be content. Understanding your authority context and having understanding expectations and managing those and building proper relationships and doing things with a good attitude for people. And then you'll be content. And when you're content, you have wealth, because wealth is about, it's a heart issue. It's not a monetary issue. That's what's happening, I think, in chapters 25 to 28. Then we have chapter 29, and this I don't have as part of your handout. I think these four, if you're going to start in the book of Proverbs, I would encourage you to start with chapters 25 to 28, because these are really these four core pieces, these really important areas of life that help you to see things more biblically and just to live a life that's I think, more honoring to God. But we have chapter 29 here, and this is about perspective. Chapter 29 eluded me for a long time because it has almost every persona you could imagine in it. There's the king, there's the poor person, there's the ruler, there's the scornful person, and so there's all these different roles and people and perspectives in the chapter. Almost every verse goes to another kind of person. And so it's really a chapter on perspective, showing you that all of these proverbs need to be seen from a different angle, from many different angles, to really understand how they go together and what the significance of them is. One of the exercises I'll do, if I really want to understand a section of Proverbs, I'll take one proverb and I'll think about it from seven or eight different perspectives. I'll just say, okay, how would a king see this perspective? How would a father see this perspective? How would a son see this perspective? And each proverb, and I'll just think of it, it takes about half an hour for me to go through the proverb and think through how each person would understand that proverb. And by the end of that, then I have a much clearer understanding of what it's saying. It takes a lot of time. But I think it's worth it because we start to see the structure and the order. Chapter 29, as it deals with these perspectives, it's teaching that this whole idea of the Proverbs life, of living the Proverbs life, it's not about gaining power or gaining influence. What it's really about is it's about building trust. And as you work to work in an authority context, as you work to build relationships, as you work to serve the Lord, really a lot of, in any one of those areas, building trust is a key component to that. So that's really what chapter 29 teaches there. There's a lot more that I could say, but let's go back to chapter 24. I'll just end with this, and again, the point of this is hopefully to get you excited about the book, but more importantly, to get you excited about the Word of God. Chapter 24, at the end of the chapter, this is the panorama. And so Solomon has just told this story through the Proverbs. And this is the very end of that story. And here he is, the conclusion of this great work. And I'll say, I see this panorama as being such a high piece of art. Aristotle, and it doesn't come close to what Solomon has put to paper here. And so we come to the end of this, and we see verse number 30. I went by the field of the slothful, and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns, and nettles had covered the face thereof. And the stone wall thereof was broken down. Then I saw and considered it well, and looked upon it, and received instruction. Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that travaileth, and thy want as an armed man. Notice, he goes by the field of the slothful and the one who doesn't have the understanding of God. And so he sees it, and he sees that it's all grown over. It's all, the stone wall is broken down. Look at verse 32. And I saw and considered it well and looked upon it and received instruction. In our lives, we encounter situation after situation. We encounter people who do great things, we encounter people who do bad things. And it's important that we learn from that, but that we learn the right lesson. He says, this is the culmination of all of this wisdom here. He looked upon it, this field of the slothful, and received instruction. And what did he learn this time when he looked at this field? He says, yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep, so shall thy poverty come as one that travaileth, and thy want as an armed man. The message here is a poetic one that means not only should we be diligent in our work, we should be diligent in every area of our lives. Because poverty can be any kind of poverty. It could be poverty of the mind. It could be poverty of the heart. It could be poverty of joy. It could be all kinds of poverty. But he says, with some diligence, let's not fold our hands, because if we fold our hands just a little, I don't need to do that now. I'll just fold my hands to sleep just a little bit. That will cause poverty in your life. And so he's saying, be diligent in every area of your life is really the lesson here of the book of Proverbs. All right, with that, we'll close in a word of prayer and hope this was an encouragement to you. Lord, I thank you so much for the book of Proverbs. And for just the riches that are in it, help us to desire to understand it better. Help us, Lord, to treasure your word. We have such access to it now. Help us to desire to study it, that we could grow closer to you. In Jesus' name, amen.